Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of Chicago Business Podcast. I am your host, Drew Sekula, and thank you for joining. The purpose of the show is to introduce leading business executives and share perspectives on who they are, what problems they are working to solve, and talk about how innovation is changing their organizations. Today, I welcome John Araujo, Executive Vice President of Gallagher, which recently bought the business he built at Affiliated Benefit Consultants. The deal just recently closed, so very nice timing on his end, considering the world we find ourselves in today. We had a wide-ranging discussion that I enjoyed greatly, but unfortunately, it was cut off early due to technical difficulties. Entirely my fault, lesson learned there for sure, but I'll go ahead and share with you what I have, and we will take it from there. I appreciate your time and hope you find the content both entertaining and educational. Please consider subscribing to the podcast, commenting, and sharing with your network as well. ChicagoBusinessPodcast.com includes links to guest profiles and other information you may find useful as well. I'm with the show.
Okay, John, thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
Very much so. Great to have you here. Yeah. Chicago Business Podcast number four. Okay. I'm starting to get the hang of it, so feeling a little bit more confident.
Okay.
So that's good. That's good. So we've worked together for longer than we've really known each other, right? So 2010, I came back to Chicago and joined Independence Plus and served in the CFO role there, mm-hmm. and you were, it was your company that was helping us with our benefits consulting, so and I believe still do that to this day for them. So maybe if you can give a little bit of background about yourself, and we can start there.
All right. I'll just kind of start a little bit earlier. I'm originally from Jersey. I came to Chicago to go to college, and then I got into the insurance business just kind of because I really couldn't get a job doing anything else, frankly. It was in 1990, the markets were pretty tough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were some companies interviewing on campus, but it was pretty challenging. And then Northwestern Mutual, big insurance company, you know, came out and they talked to me. And, you know, they gave me a great offer of 100% commission. So I was like, wow, how can I pass that up? So anyway, it was really like the best offer I had, surprisingly. But that's what I did. So right out of college, I don't know, you know, why I did it. I mean, really, I was like, let me just try. At that age, right, you had nothing to lose.
Right.
I mean, I didn't have any money. I was used to living on nothing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, how bad could it be? So, you know, but it's a very reputable company. It was downtown in the city. I lived in the city forever. And so that's how I got into it.
So right around 1990. So even the guy coming out of University of Chicago, huh? You're a little too much fun there?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was good training to go into the insurance business because it was, you know, the insurance business was hard, but it wasn't harder than that.
The right.
Last 4 years were as hard as I can imagine. UFC now is very popular, and, you know, there are a lot of people want to go there. It's very hard to get into, but when I went, it wasn't as popular. So it was more like, can you survive it, frankly?
Mm-hmm.
It was just so intense. I don't know what it's like now to get through it. But long story short, so that's how I kind of just fell into the insurance business. I mean, it's funny, almost every single person I know who's in, you know, the brokerage business, the insurance business kind of, you know, fell into it, which I have all kinds of thoughts on. I mean, it's a fascinating profession, really. It's a great profession, but no one wants to go into it as like a younger person. People want to be doctors and lawyers and, you know, police officers or whatever. No one really wants to go into insurance.
They don't know residual income very well.
Exactly. Like, no one thinks about it. So now, after all these years, you know, when I recruit and train my young guys and bring girls in the business, you know, I have a very different perspective, you know, on how I feel about it. And it's a phenomenal business. You know, it's not for everybody, but nonetheless, it's not something that your parents are going to be that proud of. You know, I went to school to be a doctor, and in the first year, I'm like, this is absolutely not for me. I volunteered in the hospital. And I was like, I have no interest in being in the hospital. And I, you know, so like, yeah, being a doctor sounded good because mm-hmm. all immigrant parents love to hear their kids mm-hmm. want to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. My parents are from Portugal. Anyway, so then I'm like, oh, I'm going to the insurance business. My dad, who, you know, is not from America, he didn't have much education. Even he was like, who does that? Like, you went to just college, you know, it wasn't very impressive for them.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless. So well, I gotta do something. So I didn't go back home to New Jersey. I stayed here and went into the business. Mm-hmm. So that's how it all started.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. It's funny, my wife actually was also like pre-med.
Oh, right.
And then she went out there into the hospital and saw some blood and she's like, eh, nope.
Yeah, and I have no regrets. I mean, you know, I have good friends who are surgeons. They, they're great for the business, right? For, mm-hmm. for healthcare. I have no regrets. It was the best thing I ever did, you know, by chance not to get into the to that field.
Right.
But, you know, you don't know when you're a kid. You think, well, it's a good field. People do well.
So at what point did you know that you had found a home and that it wasn't just like, this, I'm going to do this for now? I mean.
That's great. I struggled tremendously the first few years, which is normal in this business. I mean, the insurance business has a low barrier to entry, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to be a lawyer, a doctor, a CPA, those professions require, you know, a level of intelligence and there's it's harder to get into. They're great professions. The insurance business has no barrier to entry, right? So getting through it is the weed out process. Can you survive it? So those first few years, I mean, I struggled tremendously. You know, money was a constant source of stress because we were straight commission. And I honestly quit many times Friday night going home. And you know, I was even with my current wife now. We were dating then. We were living together. And I was like, I quit. And she's like, you should. Like, I don't know how you're doing this. It was so challenging, you know, to have no money and have no idea what you're doing. So I quit many a Friday night. But then I'd wake up Monday morning. I'm like, what else am I going to do? You know what I mean? I should just keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably took probably into the third year when things then maybe started clicking over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, all right, I can survive in this. And then I transitioned from the Northwestern Mutual into what I'm into today, which is more employee benefit consulting, which is more corporate consulting. Mm-hmm. Northwestern Mutual is very individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got into the corporate, and that was perfect for me. That was a great fit for my skill sets.
So did you take that business? Because Northwestern Mutual, what was that transition like for you? Because I remember we had talked once before about that.
Yeah, it's a little convoluted. I mean, at the time, the person who ran the office in the city, he was like a mentor, like a father, and he still is. He's a great friend. He's, you know, much older, obviously. But he basically said, all right, kid, just run this employee benefits little startup that way. I mean, it was like nothing. It was me and this woman. And he's like, you'll figure it out. Like, because it was tiny, so he didn't really care about the money. He was just like, just do something. And then it really started taking off. But I was working with him. But then he retired, and then I got shifted over to another office at Northwestern. And I had another, like, owner or partner that I worked with. And it wasn't until quite a few years later that, ironically, when Obamacare hit, everyone in our industry thought it was going to kill our business. It actually turned out the best thing for us because Obamacare made insurance companies like Northwestern Mutual very nervous because no one knew what was going to happen. And they came to people like me and said, hey, do you want to buy this? So that's how it all changed for me. And you know, like 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Was when I was able to buy the business from my Northwestern Mutual managing partner at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Had Obamacare not happened, it may never have occurred.
Right.
So talk about crazy. You never know where elections take you, right? You know,
yeah.
It's weird. So none of us thought Obamacare would be good, but yet it did turn out to be selfishly good. Anyway, so that's how I was able to kind of take hold of the business and own it.
Right.
You know. And then I didn't ever plan on selling it, but then things worked out that way.
Right. So let's go ahead and jump into that. I think that people will be really interested in hearing kind of about the transaction. So again, congratulations. Just here in the last couple of weeks announced. So I'll let you kind of
just to give you a little insight into that. I mean, we grew the business very nicely over many years, even before I owned it. It was just growing. I mean, we had literally 25 years of growth. I mean, you know, some years would be small, maybe 4 or 5%. Some years were 20%. But we just kept growing. We had a nice model. I've been very lucky to have great people. I mean, I've really never have had a management headache because I've always been very lucky in the people I've hired who have just been fantastically productive and loyal people. But what we noticed more recently was, in Chicago, it's an extremely competitive business in what we do, employee benefits, because the companies we work with, like Independence Plus and bigger companies, you know, are also getting called on by other giant corporations mm-hmm. like Gallagher. And to those companies, those clients, it's very hard for them to see necessarily as you get into bigger companies, well, it's probably a safer bet to work with a Gallagher or an Aon or like these big household name firms. It's,
you don't get fired for using them.
Exactly. Yeah. So we really in recent years started seeing like we're really bumping up against them all the time. You know, they're coming down market to our client base. And it's hard to compete. They have tons of resources. They're very good, obviously. And it's safe. If I'm the HR executive or the CFO of a company, that's a safe decision. You know, we were maybe a little bit more of a risk. So we were fortunate that we had very good retention of our clients. We had, you know, they accepted the fact that we were a smaller kind of boutique shop, but we were doing great work. But to get new business was getting more and more difficult. So long story short, myself and a lot of my friends who do what I do across the country with Northwestern, you know, just kind of my group, we all started really seriously looking at like, you know, this might be the time to really consider merging because we don't know if we can continue to grow at the way we've mm-hmm. grown if we don't. And that, for me personally, was a very hard decision because you're somewhat admitting failure. You know what I mean? Like, you know, everyone's like, oh, congratulations, you sold the Gallagher. And I'm very happy about that. But to get to that point where you're willing to sell when you've owned the business for so long,
right?
You're kind of like, but then you have to realize if I don't do this, what's the likelihood of us really growing in the future? And then there's a whole bunch of other factors. So, and I can get into all that detail, but that was, you know, within the last few years, really where more and more the decision making was happening, where it's like, what's best for our clients? What's best for our company? Forget about me for a minute. Is it better for us to merge with a big company like Gallagher, keep my team intact, and then expand from there? And that's ultimately, you know, why we did it.
Yeah.
So,
and I know you have a very close team, too, and in terms of our, you know, the interaction we had. I know Susan, right, has been there forever, and everybody's, seems like you really have a close-knit team there. That's got to be part of your decision in terms of picking a partner, too. So what was that like in terms of figuring out what marriage made sense?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I was lucky. Like I said, I have a lot of my friends across the country who do exactly what I do in Indianapolis and North Carolina and Dallas and Atlanta, all over. So we're all very good friends. We'd all been with Northwestern Mutual for 20 plus years. Mm. You know, I had a big group that we met with quarterly. So we all helped each other. We all knew each other's financials. It was almost like a YPO kind of vestige type group. Like, we weren't competitors. We were friends.
Right.
And to this day, we're still very loyal to each other, even though a lot of us have splintered off into other companies. Long story short, you know, we all started getting approached by these big companies like Gallagher and Hub, all these kind of household names in brokerage. And a few of our friends started kind of splintering off sooner. They were a little bit older than me, and they were like, okay, this is my time. Like, I need to do this. You know, I don't have any children to pass the business on. Eventually, I want to retire. So it was nice to have a few of them kind of go into it and then kind of report back to the group and say, hey, it's been great. Like, our business is not a business that you can synergize savings through cutting employees. Like, if I fire Susan, your family, they're not going to stick with us. They're gonna be like, that's our person. And her team is, you know what I mean? Our business is so relationship-based that a company like Gallagher can't bring us on and say, oh, we can save a lot of money, just cut the team. You know, like, maybe that happens in normal mergers. You know, let's cut this plant in Topeka and, you know, but in employee benefits and private wealth management,
it's a relationship business.
It's a relationship. Yeah. And my people, you know, my teams who manage our clients, they're indispensable, right? So long story short, we started learning from our friends who had done it. Hey, it's not that scary. Like, it's been great. Like, they have all these resources that we're never going to build because they're giant companies.
Mm-hmm.
They have all these tools and whatever and locations. But yet, we still have our team that we're working with. We can kind of stay for as long as we want. Some of my friends retired already, but a lot of them haven't. And so that was easier for me then to start saying, okay, it's not scary to do it. You know, they're not going to just chop us up. And then it was a decision about, like, so who's the right fit? Since I'm 51, I plan on working, hopefully, at least 65, maybe longer. I don't know. I really have no desire to stop. That was a big question for me personally. You know, where am I going to be happy? You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that really had a lot to do with the process of choosing Gallagher.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I okay. mentioned Dio over LinkedIn. Did I actually have a friend or actually it was a classmate of mine who does those integrations, Matt Pulaski, for Gallagher. Oh. So
I didn't know him.
Yeah, well,
he wasn't on our
he's team. On the finance. He's on the finance side. Matt Pulaski, yes. Yeah. So I don't. Okay. Yeah, he might not be. I know
he
they
wasn't
have
assigned
a,
to. Our, yeah.
They, yeah, they have. They have a few people in that position, but he's CFO for part of the company. Or, yeah. Excuse me, for yeah, part of the U.S. Yeah, 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 East or West or whatever. Yeah. But I was talking with him. We just had a reunion for what 30 years of graduating eighth grade from Ascension in Oak Park.
Oh, really?
And we were talking about like what he was doing and how he handled the integrations and how basically, you know, that's how a lot of their growth. That's really, I don't think there's a lot of organic growth in the industry at all. But that's how they managed to continue to grow. They have it down to, you know, rockets, not rocket science, but it's just it's blocking and tackling. They know what they're doing.
It's which makes it comforting for me, and my team. You know, once I decided on them and. I mean, they have it down to science. They've done over 500 mergers since, I don't know, the 60s. So, all over the world. I mean, they just bought a company in Sweden that does something very, not in our business, in like commercial insurance. But, yeah, so they have it down to the science. They're very good at it, which, you know, makes it better, right? Like, you know, for the team, they don't feel like, what are we getting into? You know, they're not, they know what they're doing. Yeah, so they're yeah, I mean, all these companies, it's fascinating. Like, our business, again, if you think of professions, this is the way I look at it. Like, you think of being a physician, an accountant, a lawyer, an insurance professional, maybe a wealth manager. Like, all of those are similar in a lot of ways that you get business through relationships, maybe referrals. We do cold calling. But there's really nothing that drives business via, like, macroeconomic forces. Like, meaning, if interest rates change, that doesn't drive more business to a law firm. You know what I mean? Nothing is going to, from a macro level, completely change how a law firm grows or an accounting firm grows. It's just day-to-day meeting people, solving the problems, getting their trust, and building that relationship, maybe getting referrals. So I don't think any of those businesses organically grow at a tremendous rate. You know, they're not a technology firm, mm-hmm. right? They don't have a product that's going to skyrocket, you know?
Right.
So it's business services, it's intellectual capital, or, you know, and therefore it's hard to grow it, but you also don't lose it, right? I never really worried about my business going to nothing, right, mm-hmm. overnight. But to your point, you know, what you start to realize, and I don't know the other business as well. You know, I don't know how, like, you know, the top accounting firms grow as much or the top law firms. I mean, I don't think there's as much acquisition. But in our world, even a company like Gallagher, as powerful as they are nationwide and in Chicago, they can't get our clients. You know, they're really good, but it's very hard for them to get our clients. Maybe one or two here and there, but they're not going to just wholesale pick up our company. Mm-hmm. They've got to buy the group. Right. They have to do that merger and acquisition. Otherwise, they don't grow. So, right. I mean, their growth has been phenomenal since 1927, but it really took off, like you said, when they started doing acquisitions, because they're never going to grow organically the way they grew, you know, through acquisitions. They would never have grown that big.
So how is it going to be different for both your employees and your customers under Gallagher versus what you had with Affiliated Venture?
It should be a lot better in a lot of ways. So, well, it's an important thing we've had to tell our clients, you know, one at a time, and I'm sure Susan told Independence, was, I'm not going anywhere. So we're merging with Gallagher. Here's the reasons why. But first and foremost, me and my team are not leaving. We've only had, like, with two people who are internal, like, bookkeeping financial people. Because that's all going to go to Gallagher headquarters, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to run the finances anymore, which is fine. Everyone else who's either in sales or client-facing or client-servicing is all, you know, staying.
Mm-hmm.
This is forever if they want. So that was the first question all the clients had was, okay, great, cool. So I continue to work with you. Some people knew of Gallagher, some people didn't, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just a company.
Yeah.
But the reality is,
they're building their name with the Cubs, all the work they're doing down there.
That's been very effective from here, right?
Right.
That's been smart. But at the end of the day, where it's kind of cool for us is Susan has a pretty large packaging company here in Chicago. It's an old family business, pretty large. And they literally just came to her the other day and said, hey, we have a pretty big operation in Canada. The people who manage that up there, we don't even like them. Can you do that? Now, because Gallagher, absolutely. Well, you know, wherever it is in Canada, I'm not sure wherever they are, because Gallagher's very big in Canada as well. Even though it's a, you know, social medicine, or, you know, it's a social healthcare country, most people still have private healthcare if they can afford it, which is, I didn't know that, right? That's kind of interesting. So long story short, this company's employees, I think there's maybe 100 employees somewhere in Canada, they almost all have private insurance. And like I said, the broker there wasn't doing very good. They came to Susan like, hey, can you just do this? Honestly, you know, a year ago, we wouldn't be able to do it. We have zero capability in Canada. We have no understanding of the laws and regulations. We would have no expertise. Now it's very simple. We call the people in Canada. We're like, all right, we're going to partner with you. You're going to help us manage it. We're the relationship. So that's one huge upside for us with our client, is that pretty much everything they ask us now, we can say yes to, because someone at Gallagher or some team has done it. Mm-hmm. So for the client, it's great. You know, we're happy about that. For my employees, you know, there's tons of resources for them. So again, our client servicing people, they feel good. They're like, hey, we've got this whole army behind us of resources and just expertise, that if anything comes up from a client that's outside of what our normal process is, mm-hmm. they can handle. So that's already come up so many times in the last few months. We've started kind of being a part of Gallagher, even though it wasn't official
until
February. So we've been able to use their team. So that's been great. And then longer term, I told everyone, I said, hey, this is something you're probably not thinking about, but I know there's a number of you on the team who may want to work somewhere else longer term. Like one of our key people, she's always joked about like retiring to like Arizona. I'm like, well, guess what? There's an office in Arizona. Mm-hmm. If you really want to go there eventually, we'll get you. I'm sure we can get you a spot there.
All right. Maybe sooner than later.
Right. Yeah. So that's nice. Like for them, like I'm like, guys, you don't have to stay here forever just because you want to be part of the team. You are now part of a much bigger platform. So, look, I'm sure, you know, we're in the honeymoon phase, so to speak. I'm sure there's going to be some bureaucratic processes that are not what we're used to, because we, you know, we were small, we were very nimble. I'm sure there's going to be some processes that are, you know, they're going to be slower and, you know, bureaucratic, you know, just that'll be frustrating. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not going to have final say on everything anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, when we want to hire new people, I used to just do it. Now it's like I got to go get through approvals and make sure it meets the financial parameters. So that's going to be different.
Who are you reporting to within Gallagher then?
Yeah, so there's a gentleman named Brian Lomas, this young guy, about 35 years old. He's the one who kind of recruited me to this. So he runs Illinois. Mm-hmm. So we're a part of the Illinois team. So every, you know, like in any big company, they start to chop up all the locations. Mm-hmm. So even though we're part of this big company now, it's really Illinois. Like that's who we work with. And it's mostly up here, you know what I mean, in the northern. There's a southern Illinois component, but there's just much less business down there. So the majority of the business is up here. And the nice thing for us is headquarters is in Rolling Meadows, which is literally 30 minutes from our office in Oak Brook. So I was there this morning for some meetings. It's nice to be able to go to the headquarters and be there. So long story short, yeah, I mean, I see a lot of upside for our clients, for sure upside for our clients, because they get the best of both. They get to keep their people who they know and trust. Nothing's changing. And if something comes up unusual, we know we have the capabilities, mm-hmm. right? So that's all upside for them. And for the employees, it's great because, you know, they're going to have a lot of flexibility. Some will have room for growth. You know, they may say, hey, I don't really want to do what I'm doing with you anymore. What else can I do? Hey, let's talk to corporate and see what they're
right. So that's great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
They were a little, you know, shocked at first, but I got through it.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Nice. So just a little bit more on that, about the negotiation and like the valuation. I know you're a private company. I'm not sure how much you want to get into.
There's some things I probably can't disclose, but
right.
I mean, I can definitely give you the prime. And I was lucky because, you know, I had a number of friends who had done it already. You know, these are very good friends, like my best friends in the business. So I knew kind of all the inside and outs of what the process looked like. What's interesting is, there's a number of big companies nationwide who are in this process. I mean, first of all, there's a lot of private equity money. So a lot of companies over the last 10, 15 years have been able to get funding and financing to do these acquisitions. Gallagher's public, so they didn't need to do that. They, you know, they use their own money, but or public money. But long story short, what we saw amongst our friends and it was, regardless of whether it's a Gallagher or a Hub or whoever, the way they structured the deals were pretty much all the same. So it wasn't that much differential based on who you went to, which was kind of nice. It was like, okay, I kind of know where the financials are even before I talked to them. I knew my financials. I knew how they would change the EBITDA numbers. And they juiced the EBITDA because there's a number of cost savings, you know, going to them. And then I knew what the multiples were recently. So the financial component, and I negotiated the entire deal myself. There are brokerage firms or consulting firms, I guess, who will do this. But honestly, you know, my friends who did it, like, we didn't really need them. I mean, it was, you know, you're paying 3-5% of the sale, which is fine. But they're like, honestly, you don't need it. You know, you need your law firm at the end to negotiate or deal with the paperwork. But, you know, we know.
Especially when you have that much insight into what valuations are, right? I mean, those guys, business brokers, if you don't know who potential buyers are and they need to go out and canvas the market, there's a place for them, right? But here, you know the business better than the brokers do, like in terms of even valuations based on the transactions that have happened.
Yeah. I don't know if I know better, but again, I felt pretty confident. Like, I knew what the valuation of my business should be, you know, within a certain parameter. And I was like, well, if I'm going to pursue it, if I can get this or more, right, then it makes sense. You know, I wasn't really worried about it being too far off because then I would just walk away from it. Because I wasn't necessarily set on doing it, even though, you know, I thought it made sense. I certainly didn't tell them that. But so ultimately, the way I did it was, there was a company of Atlanta where a number of my friends had gone, who's really growing. And they were very interested in our operation because, again, you know, I was referred to them from our friends. But ultimately, I really felt like I wanted to be with Gallagher for a number of reasons, a lot of the cultural fit and just long-term opportunity, just, you know, for me and my team. So ultimately, you know, I was able to use the other operations offerings and as a way to help me.
Yeah, you know, so you had competing offers.
Exactly. Yeah. So it wasn't rocket science, you know what I mean? Like, I know my numbers, so it wasn't that hard to say, well, look, this is what they're willing to do. Now, I was pretty transparent, frankly, with, you know, the guy I was going to report to, Brian. He's become a friend. I said, look, I'll be honest, I want to work with you. I said, help me get what I want, and you got my team. But I said, you know, I'm just going to be very honest with you because I don't really, I'm not really that good of a negotiator. So I didn't feel like I had to play that many games. I was just like, look, here's what they're going to do for me. And the reason is because of all my friends who were there were really encouraging them. But I really want to be here for a number of reasons. And he's like, great. So it wasn't that hard. I mean, again, because it's a small business. I know my business upside down, inside out, because I'm very into the financials. I knew where they would want to, or where they would give me credits for the EBITDA, you know, right? Like, my EBITDA number, you know, would jump maybe another 30-40% based on the things that we could carve out. And I knew what those were, you know what I'm saying? So I knew, and I could tell when they were trying to negotiate, I'm like, look, I know this already. So this is out, this is out, this is out. These expenses are gone. And therefore, your multiple is going to be based on this number. And then ultimately, they were like, yeah, that's fine. So it was a pretty easy negotiation. I mean, again, they do it all the time. They were not you know, crazy hardball. Like, it wasn't, it's interesting. A good friend of mine is potentially looking to sell his business. It's a different kind of business. I'm like, look, I can't speak for any other industry. All I know is, you know, Gallagher and some of the other companies I talked to, it wasn't contentious because it's like, you're going to be a part of us for a long time. You know, we want your team to enjoy being with us for a long time. Obviously, we want your clients to be with us for a long time. So I think they take the approach, like, we want to start off on the right foot. So I treated them the same way. I wanted to be very transparent and reasonable. And there were certain things like, okay, that's fine. You know, leave it in the pro forma, you know. So I wasn't over the top crazy with that either. But I got to the number that was very fair. And, so I don't know. It wasn't that hard, really.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The actual process of the merger is hard because now you're dealing with attorneys, which is, you know, no offense to attorneys, but that was not fun.
All right.
It's just not fun.
Well, they're paid to address risk and all the things that could go wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So
at some level, it's like, yeah, this risk is almost nothing. So why are we spending so much time on a risk? That's like you're talking, you out of flying in an airplane. Well, there's almost no risk. You should fly in a plane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was minutia, but that. So anyway, that's a cost that's just a part of the whole deal, but it was fine. So,
yeah. Nice, and you plan on sticking around? I was kind of expecting.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know. Thinking about a lot of these are, you have earnouts there, and you know, you kind of see through the transition, and then you're planning on sticking around for the long term. Huh? You have a big payday, but you have a lot more you can do.
It's fun, exactly. I mean, I've spent enough time on vacation, right? On golf trips or hanging out with my wife. And it's always great, but a few days in, I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's something wrong with me. Like, I just get antsy mentally. So, you know, if I'm on like a 3-day golf trip with my buddies, perfect. Mm-hmm. Ready to get back to work. You know, I was in over Christmas, my wife and I went to New York over New Year's because we usually go there, you know, because I'm from or New Jersey or just so we love to go to New York. But it was a longer trip than normal. It was probably 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I love hanging out with my wife, but by the fourth day, I'm like, I'm getting nuts. So for me, Drew, at this point in my life, the thought of not working or having, you know what I mean? Like, I just have no interest in that.
Yeah.
And I don't have anything else really that I know or that I want to do. I don't want to like get into the restaurant business or something. So I was like, let's just keep doing what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I'm pretty good at it. If they're going to keep me on board, why not just do that?
All right.
So I don't know. I guess I could change my mind later on, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, sounds good. So, and again, no children. We didn't touch on that, so that's kind of a different. You've been involved in raising some kids, but not your own. So
no. My wife's the oldest of six girls.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're the oldest of six girls, I could understand why she wouldn't want kids. I guess I don't know. I mean, I've known her. We've been together 28 years. She's never wanted to have children.
Mm-hmm.
I was never hell bent on doing it. You know, so when she's like, you know, I, you know, we've basically been raising her family and her younger sisters forever. So we certainly don't feel like we haven't been involved with kids and now their kids, which we're very close to a bunch of them. So, so, you know, we're just like, you know, the aunt and uncle of a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it works out pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we skipped the whole beverage thing. We're going to slide that in here. So cheers to your transaction, first of all.
Yeah, so, appreciate it. It's kind of unexpected in some ways, but there you go.
So today we're having a little bourbon from Old Cavalier. Picked this up at the Cavalier Hotel in Virginia Beach right after it reopened. Mm. It's been around for a long time.
Cavalier Hotel.
Cavalier Hotel.
Okay.
It's the only